Chapter 26.
Jason heard weird, hypnotic music pass his hidden compartment, playing a melody full of death and despair. Several pairs of armored legs tramped up past him, his cheekbone twinged. He imagined himself as Kipteron, blasting out of the compartment with his lightsaber blazing, destroying everyone who got in his way. Utterly rejecting the idea, he tried to imagine himself as his uncle, taking up the lightsaber when necessary, sparing life whenever he could. Then as Anakin, strong in the Force, unafraid to use it, but not yet mature enough to see all facets of each situation. As Jaina, a champion of her squadron, only beginning her own rise to glory. Who was Jason? Again, he had the overwhelming sense that the Force was about to shift. Something was ending. Something beginning. He could crouch here until they found him, or he could commit himself back to the Force. Utterly. "But what do you want?" he begged. Again, he saw the galaxy sliding toward darkness. And this time, he realized that standing motionless at its center wouldn't change the balance, wouldn't save anyone, including himself. What if he'd caught that lightsaber Luke flung in his vision? He would be expected to strike, wouldn't he? He could do that, on his own, without the Force. Or else he could give himself utterly to something he was too small to understand. As Uncle Luke said, there was no middle ground. He unhooked his lightsaber. He thought back to the times he'd beaten Anakin, to the old familiar feeling of letting the Force flow through him, so that even a Force dark Yuuzhan Vong's actions could be anticipated. It had been like warm, living water flowing all around him. It was utterly tempting to go back. No. He would not go back. He must go on. Heavy footsteps approached. Leia backed away from the door. Rhonda moaned,
"This is the end. As night follows morning, as decay follows death."
"Shut up," she said firmly. A warrior in black armor appeared in the doorway. He held a snake-headed amphistaff across his body. He pointed out into the room and said something unintelligible. Maybe they didn't have enough earworms to go around. Not that it surprised her. She didn't expect them to want real communication. Another guard emerged from behind the door, holding the clawed, wrist-grabbing creature.
"That's not necessary," she said. "You don't need to do this. I'm not going anywhere else."
She winced as the claws closed on her hands anyway. The guard turned next to Rhonda, brandishing a glob of yellow-green slime. He applied it to the Hutt's small hands, then pushed them against his globular sides and gave a guttural command. Rhonda wriggled his fingers. His hands stayed where the guard put them.
"Guvik,"
the guard ordered, shoving Leia's shoulder. She obeyed, but she didn't hurry. He directed her across the circular landing, back to her office, shoving and poking with his amphistaff. More guards followed them. The War Master stood in front of her window, looking out toward the research buildings. To one side stood Nomanor, again wearing his tunic over black armor. On the War Master's other side, a smaller, wrinkle-faced Yuuzhan Vong wore floor-length black robes and a hood that clung to her back-swept skull. Flanking her, two lanky attendants held long-limbed crustaceans against their bare chests. Tattoos radiated upward and outward from their chests' centers, resembling explosions in shades of red and orange. A third attendant cradled an enormous double-skinned drum against her tunic. As Leia stared at the drum, two protrusions near its top opened momentarily, revealing a pair of green eyes. Leia's guards stopped at the door. Ignoring Rhonda, she resolutely walked forward.
Good morning, she said.
The War Master turned slightly, showing half his disfigured face. Leia thought she saw a smile on the fringed lips.
Come here, he said.
She walked to the window. Between the research building and the construction barns, the new pit had been dug deeper. Down inside lay a jumble of machinery and construction droids.
The gods give good portents today,
the War Master said, nodding toward the black-robed female.
It is a good day to burn sacrifices.
Leia gripped the window ledge with four fingers.
Wait, this is an enclosed dome. Open fires will deplete your own oxygen. You must—
Your expectations are false. The creatures who cleanse our shipboard air will purify it inside your built monstrosity as well. When waste gases increase, they simply multiply faster. Again, you see that technology is no match for life itself.
I agree, she said firmly. Life is vital. Living creatures are complex, matchless, and blessed with intelligence. So you must not—
All living creatures serve the Yuuzhan Vong, he said. And we serve the gods.
He nodded to the elderly priestess. The priestess inclined her head, keeping her hands laced in front of her, both arms covered by long, full sleeves. The War Master turned back to the window.
Watch, he said. You must begin to understand the destiny that approaches you all. Star by star, breath by breath.
Several more warriors approached the pit, dragging another travoy. Leia's priceless mining laser, already smashed beyond usefulness, lay on top of it. The warriors maneuvered the travoy into place, raised its end, and pitched the laser into the pit. Then another black-robed priest led a procession toward the pit, including a second travoy. Something that looked like a large tank was balanced on this. As the second travoy tipped, a bulbous creature with six stubby legs scrambled out to the pit's side. Leia had seen these fire breathers before. Big ones, at Gindine. This youngster trained its proboscis down into the pit and gushed out a scream of gelid flame. Leia glanced up and saw that the dome's synthplas underside glistened with spots and splotches of red and white. As smoke rose toward the splotches, the white ones slowly reddened.
Your biotechnology is marvelous, she said dully.
Do not call our servants technology, he growled. We serve the gods, and other living things serve us. This morning we will return great honor to Yunyamka.
He stretched out one arm, pointing his clawed forefinger toward the pit.
Witness this.
A line of Yuuzhan Vong guards circled around behind the refugees. At a signal given by one standing in a corner, each one let down an arm. Out of their sleeves slithered long black ropes. In a single, coordinated motion, they bent down for the ropes and brought up stiff, snake-headed amphistaffs. Then they drove refugees toward the fire pit.
No.
As helpless as she'd been on the Death Star orbiting Alderaan, Leia turned to the War Master.
No, you can't do this. This is wrong.
This, he answered, will happen on all worlds. The worthy ones were removed from the group while you slept, Leia Organa Solo. Many agreed to serve us, In other settlements on this world, they will all serve us.
Leia stared as the first line of refugees tumbled over the brink, clawing at the dirt and each other. Grieving, she looked away. She didn't have to watch them die. She felt it through the force, like blows hammering her gut. She backed away from the window. The War Master raised both clawed hands, made fists, and exclaimed something she couldn't understand. Then he dropped his arms and turned toward her.
"Now, Leia Organa Solo," he said, "you too will speak to the gods."
The black-robed priestess raised both arms. Her attendants swept out their red-limbed crustaceans. The creature's long legs locked in an extended position, joined to the bodies by tendons that now stretched taut, like translucent harp strings. The third attendant flicked her huge drum in a slow, inexorable beat. The other two raised clawless hands and plucked their creature's taut tendons. An eerie, atonal music filled the room. The priestess lowered her arms. Out of one sleeve slithered a black amphistaff. From the other sleeve, one of the furry red coil creatures rolled down her other arm. It tightened around her wrist. Leia had seen something exactly like it, looped like a garrote around a Bella Oldsong's throat. She pulled a deep breath, using the force to stay calm. "I would be glad to serve you as an interpreter," she insisted. "You need a translator for more than just language and words. Someone who understands idiom. Your earworms obviously can't—"
"Silence!"
he ordered.
"You mistake my intention."
The priestess glanced at him sharply. The War Master stepped toward Leia.
"My watchers tell us that someone is trying to enter this built thing. One of your kind. A Jedi."
"Jaina?" Leia thought frantically. "Jason? Get out of here. Get to the Falcon." Or could it possibly be Luke? He nodded curtly toward the priestess.
"We have seen how your people flock to the injured like carrion flies, hoping to feed your dreams of immortality by rescuing each other. You will be honored to serve the gods by suffering. Your screams should lure the other one to me."
"Stop," she said, backing away, refusing to understand. "Think about this. If you kill me, I can't help you any longer." He stood between her and the window, but there was just a chance she could get past him and jump and use the force to land softly and lead them away from whoever else had gotten into the building. "It's a trap, Jaina." She flung that thought out into the force. "Get away!" The War Master stepped away from the window. A massive tan object lashed at him. Rhonda's powerful tail, unrestrained by the guards or their creatures, whipped the amphistaffs out of two guards' hands, then lashed again toward the War Master.
"Run, Ambassador!" he thundered. "I have my wish, after all!"
The gaunt priestess plucked the ropey red creature off her wrist and swung it over her head. Leia rushed Nomanor, scrabbling with her fingertips for her lightsaber, still tucked in his belt. She wouldn't get far without that. The priestess launched her rope. In flight, it stretched out to twice its former length. It struck the Hutt's neck and wrapped around like a whip. Rhonda lashed at the War Master's guards with his mighty tail. They ducked out of range. Leia drove Nomanor against a wall, wrestling to unhook her lightsaber with her claw-contained hands. His nails raked her arms. She hit the activation stud, extending the ruby-red blade. It barely missed the Yuuzhan Vong's foot, burning a hole in the Duracrete flooring. Powerful hands wrenched her away, piercing her arms with knife-like claws. The War Master's guards dragged her off her treacherous researcher. In the middle of her office floor, Rhonda lashed and quivered, fighting the tightening cord with his neck muscles.
Leia!
He gasped.
Betrayed you! It's my nature. I'm sorry!
The priestess's drummer beat a crescendo. The garrote creature tightened again. Rhonda's huge eyes bulged. Leia struggled uselessly against her guards. Those close to Rhonda now had dented and gouged battle armor. The War Master stepped around her massive desk, kicked the Hutt's motionless tail, then ordered his guards,
"Take it to the kitchens."
Four of them dragged the huge body away. If Rhonda had been older and heftier, they probably couldn't have budged him, but their physical prowess was staggering. Nomanor fiddled with the hand grip of her deactivated lightsaber.
"We will study this abomination,"
he told her, brandishing it.
"We will take it down to small pieces and improve our defenses against it."
He thrust it back into his belt. The remaining guard, the priestess, and her musicians formed a circle around Leia. "Get away, get away, get away," she thought it at the Yuuzhan Vong, at Jason, at Jaina, at Han, hopefully in the Falcon by now. "Warn the Duros. Warn the fleets. Get away." The priestess raised her left arm again. Another red garrote creature rolled down to her wrist. Something else grabbed Leia from behind and flung her to the ground. Something heavy and sharp fell across her legs at the knees, blinding her with a double explosion of pain. She bit her tongue. They struck again. And again. A scream echoed down the stairwell. Jason flung himself out his compartment's door. Two alien warriors stood in the passage. One outside the office door where that scream had come from, one closer. Jason leapt up three stairs at the closer warrior. The armor itself could be killed, he reminded himself. The vulnerable point was under the warrior's arms. But at the end of that arm, a black amphistaff coiled like a hook, narrowing its inner edge to blade-like hardness. The Yuuzhan Vong attacked, taking advantage of his elevation. Jason couldn't anticipate the warrior's strategy. He could only watch shoulder twitches, subtle shifts of feet. The other's first swing drove Jason back down into a crouch. He sprang up quickly, stepping past his enemy with his lightsaber at shoulder height. Using his body as a fulcrum, he slashed for the armor's weak spot. The warrior dodged as the door guard pounded downstairs. Off the bandolier on his chest whizzed three silvery creatures. Jason backswung, pushing his pommel toward the warrior's chin. The Yuuzhan Vong swung his amphistaff down, aiming for Jason's neck. Jason ducked aside and skewered the first thud bug with his glimmering ice-green blade. The leering warrior spun on one foot, driving his amphistaff toward Jason's midsection. Jason leapt aside, planting a kick as the amphistaff swept past. The warrior lost his balance and flew over the banister. Jason stood gasping for 1 second, then swung at the thud bugs, dimly aware that the other guard had vanished into Leia's quarters. The second bug came at his chest. Now he missed the flow of the force. He backstepped and swung, feeling half blind. Somehow he connected anyway. The bug skittered to the ground. Its partner buzzed toward his head. He ducked, but not quite in time. He felt fire on his scalp as the creature slashed past, slitting his cap. He brought up his lightsaber, trying to stab it. Without the force, he just wasn't fast enough. He caught it on the backswing. Ignoring his scalp wound, he dashed the rest of the way to the office. Panting, he burst in. His mother lay sprawled on the floor. From her knees almost to her feet, her Celcor blue uniform was darkening rapidly with blood. She pushed up on her forearms, opened her eyes, then furrowed her forehead.
"Go," she groaned. "Get away."
To his horror, Three slug-like creatures rolled back and forth alongside her legs, cleaning up the visible red flow. Beyond her stood the biggest Yuuzhan Vong he'd ever seen, and a small one, all in black. Three musicians covered with tattoos, and a mid-size one, with his mother's lightsaber tucked into his belt, stood aside.
"You!"
the middle-sized Yuuzhan Vong exclaimed.
"The Craven One. I thought you remained on Buru."
Jason gaped. The Yuuzhan Vong knew the Duros had detained him? Corduro hadn't just sold out, it was collaborating. Holding his lightsaber at the ready, Jason stepped around Leia and said, "Let her go." A fully trained Jedi could have controlled blood flow to her own wounded extremities, letting enough through to oxygenate her nerves and muscles, but not enough to bleed to death. Obviously, Leia couldn't. But Jason could barely stand, he was so dizzy. The room spun and tilted around him.
"Craven still," the War Master exulted. "You stand there looking, instead of trying to strike us down. Look, then. Look well."
The War Master reached toward the small, black-robed individual and said something Jason didn't understand. Her eyebrows lowered fiercely. She uncoiled something red from her left wrist and gave it to the War Master. He dangled it between two claws.
"Ambassador Organa Solo, straighten your spine and compose your face. Meet destiny with courage and inspire this young coward."
The black-robed one stretched out her arms. Her musicians started their ugly, throbbing tune again. The room spun faster. "Stand firm, Jason," he heard. He could not fight this darkness. Not without the light of the Force, and the darkness must be fought. Jason reached inward and outward for the devastating, ravishing energy that was too large to comprehend, too mighty to use without being changed forever. He balanced himself around his glimmering blade and charged.